What's happening, my beautiful people? You're now tuned into the Big and Bright Podcast.
It's your boy Big.
And it's your boy Bright.
Yes, sir.
This is episode 51.
51
man.
In a building, man.
Hey, we growing, man. We just getting bigger and bigger.
Let's get it brighter and brighter.
Yeah, that's how we go, baby.
100, let's go.
But starting out with some news here, we got the first overall pick, Joe Burrow's $36.1 million contract is fully guaranteed.
That's what's up.
$36.1 million reasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's going to need it, too.
I was just about to say that. He definitely going to need it in Cincinnati.
Because, man, they definitely going to.
His only hope is John Ross and what's the running back?
Yeah, well, you know, John Ross and the young boy Mixon.
Yeah, Joe Mixon. Because AJ Green is damaged goods.
No, he's not. No, he's not. Hell
he
no.
He done, bro.
No, he's not. We'll go over that a little later. We're going to run down our top 10 wide receivers.
I know you ain't got
the
him
game in the NFL yeah. today. However, Joe Burrow yeah. is a young rookie, right? And in today's game, mm-hmm. they are especially drafted. You know, anywhere between in the first round between 1 through 10, mm-hmm. you're not going to sit long. I believe we had that conversation earlier where I was telling you a young rookie quarterback drafted that high.
Mm-hmm.
You're not sitting long because of how today's game mm-hmm. has evolved. And pretty much is an upscale college game. That's yeah. it. You know, you got cats running the read option. You got, you know, the RPO quarterbacks of today, like Lamar Jackson, you know, and cats like that, man, who can pose real and put real pressure on a defense mm-hmm. and can pose a big, huge problem. Joe Burrow is not that type of guy. However, Joe Burrow is very comfortable in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Joe Burrow can actually ran a pro style offense down there at LSU.
Definitely.
So the transition for him should be seamless. However, I think a problem that he may have at the NFL level will be coming to grips with the speed of the game in the NFL as mm-hmm. opposed to how it was in college. But again, by week 10.
Yeah, week 1. Yeah, or by I mean, week 10. The first year will be probably a little struggle.
It'll be a learning curve. But, mm-hmm. you know, week 10 and on, the game should start slowing down for him.
That just reminded me when you talked about you know, quarterbacks being drafted that high are not supposed to be sitting. I remember watching Hard Knocks and Jeff Fisher, he basically gave up on Jared Goff his first year. He was like, no, he's not ready. He's not ready. I can't even remember who the quarterback was, but it's somebody that's not even a starter.
It was Nick Foles.
No, it was somebody else.
Nick Foles was there. You want to put some money on it? Nick Foles was there.
I'm not saying Nick Foles wasn't there. His first year, it was, I think it might have been, was it Case? It wasn't Case Keenum, was it?
It was Nick Foles.
Let me see.
Anyhow,
yeah.
With Nick Foles being there, Nick Foles did speak on what was going on in St. Louis before they turned Los Angeles. They were the Rams.
It was a Hard Knocks when they moved to L.A.
Yeah.
Nick Foles was there when they were in St. Louis, not in L.A. Nick Foles wasn't there in L.A. It's okay.
They were there, and it got Nick Foles talked about it on his podcast as well, how Jeff Fisher was just – without bashing him,
mm-hmm.
he just wasn't a good guy. That's what his offensive philosophy was. I don't give a damn what you do well. You're going to conform to what we do. My system is what
That's
works.
Never good.
And we're going to fit a round hole through a square peg.
That's never good.
And
you
got to
utilize player strengths. Work. Yeah, that don't work at all.
It don't.
That's
work.
Why he out the league, and he probably will never get another head coach
never
job again.
Never again.
Unless he, you know, is like 80 and he's like at a JUCO and somewhere.
See, this is the thing, though, right? A lot of people wanted to bash Vince Young per se on, you know, his tenure with the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Who's to say Jeff Fisher just wasn't bad for him?
You're right,
and
bro.
Probably could and probably was the reason why his career didn't take off.
You're absolutely right.
You know, the way it should have.
Jeff Fisher is known to have given up on quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, I got to find out who that.
It's ideal.
I got to find out who the quarterback was when his first year. I got
to.
It's not gonna bug me.
You know, during that time, it sucked. You know, and he couldn't get what he wanted out of the young boy, and then you brought in the new head coach, McVay.
Mm-hmm. It was Case Keenum. Yep. Case Keenum was the quarterback. That's they started Case Keenum because the quarterback was – it was Case Keenum, Todd Gurley, Tavon Austin was the starters. Yep, it was Case Keenum. I knew it was. I remember seeing him on Hard Knocks.
They sucked.
Kenny Britt. Yep, that's when all Kenny Britt and them was there. Yep, I remember that.
And they sucked.
They did.
So a lot of players in the NFL, speaking of NFL, are opting out this season. The New England Patriots have nine players on their roster.
And Matthew Slater was thinking about it, too.
Yeah, and this is before the deadline even approaches or opens up.
They got some significant players out. Yeah,
yeah, but, I mean, again, the players that are opting out, it's not of any – I wouldn't say any place of significance because Bill Belichick drafts relatively well.
I think Hightower and Patrick Chung, those are pretty big names.
Absolutely.
Right up the middle of the defense. So.
But this, you know, what's funny, and I'm going to tell you this, at on this day of August 3rd, you're going to hear it clear as day. All those players that decided to opt out.
We'll come back.
They will be traded next season. By next
offseason. Or released, probably, huh?
No, they won't be released. Patrick Chung and Dante Hightower getting up in age. You got high value. Especially if they have a successful season without them, they're gonna get draft picks for them. Yeah. And
it's a lot of players from the AFC East that's opting out. We already said Dante Hightower and Patrick Chung. EJ Gaines, the DB from Buffalo, he's a beast.
Mm-hmm.
He's opted out. CJ Mosley, the linebacker who came over from the Ravens, this would have been his first year with the Jets. He opted out, so he's not gonna play with them till 2022. And your boy Eddie Goldman opted out as well.
Big man in the middle for the Bears.
Yeah, so
opted out.
Yeah, and I mean it's just a growing list. I mean this is going to continue. This is definitely going to continue. Yeah, among those that have opted out as well. It's a lot.
I mean, but the crazy thing about it is though, this is just not at the NFL level. I mean, the whole entire Pac-12 is opting out.
Wow.
They're threatening to opt out.
I'm telling you, I think we had this conversation last week, but I really think that the college season is not going to happen. I promise you, hand to God, I think it's not going to work because
I think that goes for all college sports.
These pro leagues are failing. Aside from NHL and NBA, they're failing right now.
I think
they're crashing and burning real fast.
Major League Baseball.
And we're going to get into that because that's coming up.
We're having a tough issue.
Yeah.
There's no other professional sport going on right now outside of hockey, basketball, baseball, soccer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's working relatively well for everyone.
Football.
But Major League Baseball.
Like, I think it's a help that football is not going to do preseason games. I think that's going to help. It's going to help. But I still think the NFL needs to adopt the bubble idea in some way. Maybe even if it's just like division, start off with like every team from this division is in one city.
Yeah. And,
you know,
and
I don't know.
In order for that. Yeah. In order.
Or some kind of region, you know, yeah, just so they can limit travel.
Same thing. Yeah. But this is the thing, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have roughly, I mean, it's easy to do when you have such small number of, you know,
that's true.
Players
on
your franchise,
team.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
A baseball team only travel, you know, they probably only travel like, you know, 25 guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the NBA, they probably travel.
And somehow
12.
The Cardinals and Marlins couldn't get their act together.
Well, it's because
only 25 guys and 20 guys getting sick.
Yeah, and that's because individuals want to do their own damn thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. I'm told that some of the Cardinals guys, and we'll get into that as well, but. Yeah, these guys are not complying, man. You gotta
absolutely
comply.
You got to comply. And the fact that they're being disobedient and doing what they want to do, I truly believe if I was Manfred, I would suspend them for the season and fine them a whole year's pay because you're putting everybody's health at risk.
Yeah.
And come down hard and let them know I'm not playing. But he has no balls. So, you know, he's going to let them do what they want to do.
Not only players are coming down with the COVID, we got a second NFL head coach that came down with it.
Yep, Doug Peterson.
Tested
positive for COVID, the Philadelphia Eagles head coach.
Yeah.
He's
asymptomatic, though, so that's a good thing. In a sense, like he's not suffering through it. He didn't even know he had it.
Right, but the thing is that he was around his players that could have had it, could have came in contact with
players and family and so on and so forth.
You know, speaking of people coming down with COVID and whatnot, Minshew, Gardner Minshew II, and Matthew Stafford have also tested positive for COVID-19.
So those are the first quarterbacks that are known to have it. But like I said before, you know, better now than never. I mean, or later, because you don't want to be in the middle of a
well, your starting stretch. Quarterback and your starting receiver right now.
Yeah, Kenny COVID, Galladay too,
and
yeah.
Starting tight end.
Hockenson as well. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Lions got about 8 players that got it right now.
Where the hell were they at? That's what I want to know, because it wasn't here in Metro Detroit. So where were they going? I know Stafford lives in Texas.
Right down south.
Yeah, Florida. That's what I'm saying. I know Stafford lives in Texas. And then, of course, you know, you got the young boy Kenny Galladay. He's from Illinois. So,
he is,
You know, you got TJ Hockenson from Iowa. There's no damn COVID in Iowa.
That's where they from.
Rural areas. I mean, it's a rural area. You know what I'm saying? So
that's where they from, but they could have been vacationing.
Could have been.
You know what I'm saying?
Not taking, not adhering to. I mean, you're not going to see Matthew Stafford on some love yacht.
Right.
You know, or some love boat or something like
Stafford
that down
throwing
in Miami.
Some passes. He was at a high school throwing some passes to some guys.
In Texas, where it's rampant at down there. So, you know.
So with Peterson having it, he's the second coach. Sean
Payton had
Sean
it earlier.
Sean Payton had it
year.
In March, yeah. You so, know. Yep.
So, I mean, but hey.
I don't think it's going to be a growing list. The beautiful part about, I don't want to say beautiful, but the good thing about it is it's August. It's the beginning of August. They have a whole month to get this crap under control. They got a whole month because they canceled the preseason games.
I'm pretty sure the NFL know what they're doing. I'm pretty sure they know what they're doing.
And they got some kind of shield. Have you seen the shield?
Yeah.
Well, they got a couple of different
prototypes. It's a top visor and it's a bottom visor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole one, too. It's a whole one. Yeah, I seen a whole one.
I mean,
players,
you know,
just can't be sneezing on each other. It's a lot of spitting and stuff goes on.
It's just sweat, you know. It ain't like nobody out there literally spitting in each other's face, you know, none of that. It's just the fact that, you know, it's a lot of bodily fluids being passed around, whether it be snot, whether it be, you know, sweat or anything else of that nature when you become in contact with another individual. So, I mean,
yeah,
whatever. Jarvis Landry has been put on the PUP list due to him having hip surgery earlier in the year. He's expected a full recovery by August. With that said, of him coming back into, you know, the fold, which there is no preseason games whatsoever, so he's really not missing anything. He pretty much knows the playbook. Like I said, it's still going to be him and OBJ. You know, I wonder who's the starting tailback now that Kareem Hunt is ready to go. So, you know, we'll see what the Browns can contribute and bring to the table. But remember last year, man, they started out getting the asses kicked religiously. And it started with the Titans. They put a beat down on them. And then it just didn't get any better resulting throughout the year. OBJ put up some numbers, you know. He put up some numbers early.
Yeah.
However, you know, the production lacked and fell off when Baker Mayfield couldn't keep it going.
Yeah, my guy Baker. Poor Baker. This is the make or break year for him, man.
Hell yeah.
He better get it together.
Him, Mitchell Trubisky, a lot of cats, man. I think Mitch starts the season on the bench. I really do. I don't see Mitch starting the year. I see Nick Foles holding that position down. I don't see him relinquishing it.
Like, that's the thing about it. One thing that preseason did provide was it gave you a 4-game look into the microscope to see, like, okay, is this the guy or is this the guy?
I mean, going into your fourth year, though, you should already know what type of player that, you know, who can contribute and who can't.
Yeah.
After 3 years, you should be able to know what the hell a guy
That's
is.
That's all it takes. So, it takes 3 years.
Just takes some getting used to, but the reality of the situation, you know,
It
is what it is. Vikings general manager Rick Spielman finalizing a multi-year deal through 2023.
Nice.
Like Zimmer. Yeah. So they're going to be attached at the hip.
They got matching contracts. And I think most coaches do that, coaches and GMs. Matt Patricia, Bob Quinn did it. They did it with Shanahan and Lynch in San Francisco. And now the Vikings. I mean, it makes sense. If you're going to bring a guy in, go ahead and see it through. So, shout out to Spielman, who's a brother of Lions, former Lion, Chris Spielman. That's his brother. Mm-hmm. I wish he had his brain, because, but I guess, you know, some guys got the brain, some guys got the brawn. If I only had a brain. Chris Spielman was a beast on the field. Rick Spielman is definitely a beast on the phones and in the office, man. He's put together a pretty good team, man. Very respectable, very competitive team. And I think the Vikings are a Super Bowl contender. Maybe last year. I don't know about this year.
Yeah, well, they in the same division as the Bears. I don't, you know, I don't know. It may be the Bears and Vikings because I think there's trouble in Green Bay.
Definitely trouble in Paradise.
Big time. And, you know, which segues into our next point here. How much trouble is there going on in Green Bay?
Well, like I told you before, man, you don't draft a quarterback in the first round. And you definitely don't trade up for a quarterback unless you plan on making some changes. With that being said, it's just weird. And I echo Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football. That he said that might be the weirdest draft pick ever in any round. Like, you not only drafted a quarterback in the first round, when you got a top, I mean, literally Aaron Rodgers is probably considered the second best quarterback in the NFL, if not the first. You drafted a guy at 26. You traded up for a guy at 26. What do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to think? You didn't draft no receivers. They haven't drafted a receiver in the first round since 2002. I mean, they didn't get him no help running the ball or receiving the ball. And he's a passing quarterback. He's a passing quarterback. You drafted his replacement, bro. So, how do you think he's going to feel? And this ain't just like a Stafford or like a more of a laid back guy. Like you said, Aaron Rodgers, he remembers stuff. He remembers.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know, man, but I definitely think that there's trouble in Green Bay. Definitely think there's trouble in Green Bay. And only time to tell, but it's just crazy because Aaron Rodgers has 4 years left on that deal. Four years left on that deal. Yeah, so definitely I think he's going to get traded. He probably going to play this season out because it's going to be a weird year anyway with the COVID. But after this, he's going to have a whole offseason to be like, get me out of here, man.
I think in a perfect world, Aaron Rodgers will play out his contract. He'll go on and, you know, ride into the sunset. However,
it's not a perfect world.
Far from perfect.
Yeah.
My thing is that it's going to be extremely, extremely uncomfortable after this season for Jordan Love, for Aaron Rodgers, for the entire
Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur going to really feel it.
LaFleur.
His comments were stupid, by the way.
Look, my thing is this. What is he supposed to say? Because he's in a situation where he's trying to seem like he's on his starting quarterback side. And he's also trying to seem that he's on the general management side that hired him.
Right.
So what are you expecting him to say in that sense? For the most part, I think in retrospect, you know, hindsight is always 20/20.
Right.
There's no way Green Bay. I think that was an extreme reach for Green Bay and Jordan Love there with the 26th pick.
Like I told you, I thought he was pulling a Pete Mahomes.
Whatever. I don't see it. I also don't see the fact and the nature of you not getting your starting quarterback any type of help. Aaron Rodgers is probably the most underappreciated quarterback by his franchise in the NFL.
And this was the year of the receiver, bro. This was one of the years of the receiver for college football. There were all type of receivers out there.
CeeDee Lamb.
Running backs. CeeDee Lamb. It was like two or three of them from one school.
Yeah. Henry Ruggs. You had guys there, man.
You had them there.
You had guys there.
Crazy, you know, man. Crazy.
Not saying that they didn't need another guy. However, not saying that they was in dire need of a number one type stud guy because they had Devontae Adams.
Right, absolutely. But he needed help.
Out of Fresno State, but yeah, he needs help.
Every Batman needs a Robin.
Absolutely.
Didn't they just bring in where did Jimmy Graham go?
Jimmy Graham went to the Chicago Bears.
Oh, he did. He did. He did.
Yeah.
Shout out to my baby brother, B-Rup. B-Rup Productions is in the building with the camera, man. We shooting it today. So, shout out to him, man, and his business, man. Appreciate you for being here, baby bro. B-Rup. Let's get it.
That's what's up.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, you know, back to Aaron Rodgers, man. It's just the fact of the matter that you had all of this going on, and for years and years and years, you didn't get him no help. You never got him a lead back. You stumbled into one.
Yep, Aaron Jones ended up
into Aaron Jones.
Actually, just a couple years ago,
and he's really not a lead
Ty
back.
Montgomery. They was right. just giving the ball to Ty Montgomery.
Exactly, and he's really not a lead back.
Yeah.
He's not a workhorse back. He's a receiving back out of the backfield.
Exactly. He's not an every down back.
He's not
either.
An every down back. Mm-hmm. So still you need a running back.
Still
you
a
still
back.
Need a tight end.
Still
you
need
still
a tight
need
end.
Another receiver to complement Davante Adams.
Absolutely.
So Aaron Rodgers is working. You've given him you asked him to make chicken salad out of chicken you know what. So you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So and year in and year out, he still gets you to the playoffs.
Every year.
He still gets you.
And they were
just
like
about.
We said, they were the worst. Were they 13-3 or 12-4?
It was 13-3. That
was the worst 13-3 team we've ever seen
in NFL history.
They barely escaped every game. They didn't have their hands on no game. And both Lions games, now mind you, the Lions only won 3 games last year. Both Lions games, the Packers only had the lead at the how many minutes is in the games? At the 60-minute mark. They literally only got the lead at the end of the game both times.
Well, that's
what does that
game.
Tell you?
That's the name of the game.
Honestly, the Lions should have won both of those games. That would have put the Packers at 11-5, but that's neither here nor there. There's definitely trouble in Green Bay.
Definitely should have lost both games against the Bears.
I remember you saying that. Yeah, they started the season off against the Bears.
That 11-5 goes to 9-7 real quick. So, I mean, it's just the way of how things played out and the way of things of how it partook and took place.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay also had a lot of BS calls went going their way.
Oh, yeah, they always get calls.
Towards the end of the game last season.
They always get calls,
which
bro.
Also had a large part in play to that 13-3 record, mm-hmm. my opinion, but who's asking? The thing is that you saw the true impact of a 13-3, a real 13-3 team with the San Francisco 49ers, really 12-4. But, you know, they was the true.
Definitely.
The true
and
record
they destroyed
team.
The Packers. Twice last year.
Absolutely.
In the regular season.
Absolutely.
and in the playoffs. We already knew what it was.
An
man.
Embarrassment. An embarrassment.
Yep. They got blasted. So guess who's 43 today?
Tom freaking Brady.
Tom terrific.
Tom Brady.
Thomas Peter Brady. No, I don't know what his middle name is.
Shout out to Tom Brady on his 43rd birthday.
43rd. He's the oldest quarterback. He's the oldest player in the NFL. Well, no. Is the kicker still playing? What's the kicker? Vinatieri. Ain't he still playing for the Colts?
I think so.
With that old weak leg, he's like 47 with a gray beard. I ain't mad at him, no.
They willing to pay him, man. Let him get that money.
Let him get that money.
Get that money.
Go and kick them little 30-yard field goals, man, extra points.
Hey, with Phillip Rivers out there, he won't be kicking many. Hell, a lot of drives are ending picks. So it is what it
point.
Is.
Plus your boy Devin Funch he opted out too.
Who gives a damn?
Hey, did you see him on the NFL 100 with them?
What the hell was them yays, bro? My God, them yays! I was like, did you find them up under the mattress? Like,
bro.
it's like he found them up under his bed or something that was like tucked away with a bunch of junk. And he just sit. He just
found
like,
him in his little treasure box under the
my
bed.
My God, man! I'm like, what the hell do you got on, bro? It was like a big ass scratch mark across the lens. I'm like,
you know, he's from the D, so you know,
man, hey, that boy from Farmington Hills.
Yeah, he from Farmington. Yeah, he played at where he played at.
He played at Harrison.
He played at the school that closed down, right?
Yeah, he played at Harrison.
Man, they had all them championships.
Yeah, man,
that's sad.
They
man.
Recruit, but yeah. You know, I was looking at
Funches.
Devin Funches.
Why he opt out? He was only going to get like $2 million this year.
Well, hey, you know, I don't know.
They said for his career, he's made $15 million.
Well, he got that money from Carolina. Just because you made $15 million, don't mean you have $15 million.
That's true. That's why That's why he had them busted yays on.
Man, I was like, dude, take them off.
He had the struggle joints on,
like,
bro.
Man,
them boys looked horrible for real.
Them look like some true liquor store.
I wouldn't even buy. Exactly.
Oh my God, you see cats that be riding around here in the beat up Charger.
I wouldn't even rock them
boys. Or the beat up Charger or the beat up Challenger. You know, your local Detroit starter kit, you know what I'm saying? with your best friend Ye's on.
But right.
Them Cartiers that he had on, them was through.
Yeah, them boys was.
Them was T-Rue with a big ass scratch across the lens. I'm like,
yeah, you can barely see through them. You're supposed to be able to see through your eyes.
He was like, I'm like, yeah. Oh, dog, you look bad. Take them off. Damn, it's like you trying too hard, man. Just take them off, man. You look crazy.
Yeah, speaking of the top 100, man, what did you think of the top 10 players? All the players that were selected, did you feel like they were worthy of that spot? And I'll say them off real quick. I'm not gonna say them in order because I don't know the order. Aaron Donald, Stephon Gilmore, Derrick Henry, DeAndre Hopkins, Lamar Jackson, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Patrick Mahomes, Michael Thomas, Russell Wilson.
They all were deserving of the top 10.
I loved it. And I was really surprised to see Russell Wilson at number two.
Still, one of the things that I think Khalil Mack should have been in the top 10 instead of 19.
Well, he was at 19?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he kind of struggled a little bit.
He didn't struggle. It was just the fact that he had nothing on his defense the whole entire year, so teams were able to double and triple team him.
I think he was either, and I told you this before, I think he was either injured and didn't say nothing, or he just had a bad year. It wasn't the Khalil Mack that was first traded from Oakland.
You can't have a Khalil Mack of that stature when you're getting triple teamed.
Okay.
All right. So again, you know,
he still did his thing,
but you also got to understand that you had a key injury in the middle of that defensive line with Akeem Hicks going down.
Yeah.
Then you got Leonard Floyd on the other side just taking up space, not giving you a good goddamn thing at all. He's just going through the motions, man, at every single play.
Yeah.
So if you're not worried about any pressure up the middle, you're not worried about any pressure on the left side, you can swing your attention to the right side, and then you can add your right tackle. You can bring your right tackle. You can bring your guard, and you can chip with your back, or you can go with your right tackle, your tight end, and chip with your back. That's a triple team that he's facing every single snap. What do you expect him to do?
I feel you, but just going off this list, it ain't nobody you gonna take off this list.
Nah,
you know what I mean. Like that's just, I mean,
I do have an issue with
Mike Thomas was number five.
I do have an issue with who was number one,
Lamar. You got an issue with that?
Yeah.
He had a spectacular season.
And then what happened in the playoffs?
But you can't.
That's part of the season.
Yeah, but
that's part of the season. Patrick Mahomes should have been number one.
They picked before the postseason started.
I get it, but
Patrick. And he carried them 14-2. Lamar Jackson, the spin moves, the rushing yards.
I get that. But then when they forced him to play quarterback, what happened?
But can I be honest with you? If you just keep it regular season, Lamar Jackson had a better regular season than Patrick Mahomes.
Absolutely, because Patrick Mahomes missed a good portion of that season due to injury.
That's true.
So, but who had the last say? Patrick Mahomes,
yeah.
Super Bowl MVP.
Pete Mahomes, man. Shout out to that boy, man.
503 million reasons.
Oh, three. Just nasty.
503 million reasons.
George Kittle. I was really surprised that he was that high up.
Why? He's the best tight end
I love him. I think him and Kelce are like amazing for the game. And Kittle, I was able to see that he really loves to block. His personality is infectious. I mean, everybody loves
this
guy.
He wanted to be a WWE wrestler.
Oh, I can see that. Because he wild like that.
He has the body for it.
I just didn't know that he was that good. I mean, I knew he was good. I saw the stiff arm against the Saints.
You don't remember when he was at Iowa? Do you remember George Kittle at Iowa?
I don't remember him in college. I got to admit you.
Damn, you was a Michigan State fan. You didn't watch him in the Big Ten Championship, versus Michigan State.
He probably dogged us.
No, he didn't.
He didn't.
Nah, I mean it was a defensive battle that game. You don't remember that?
I don't remember Kittle, bro. I just don't remember Kittle. I remember Kittle was a few years ahead of the kid from Denver and Hockenson. What's the kid from Denver's name?
Fant.
Fant. Yeah. He's like probably, what, 3 years ahead of them?
Kittle ain't
been there that long.
Because Fant was a rookie this year. So was Hockenson, wasn't he? They were rookies, right?
Both of them was rookies,
okay,
yep.
So, and he came out, I think it was 2014.
Oh, okay.
So that's, like I said, Michigan State played them in the Big Ten Championship.
You're right.
They played Iowa, and that was the year Michigan State went on into the College Football Final Four.
And Iowa always has
destroyed
tough tight ends.
Alabama.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, Iowa's tight end you. But speaking of the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Mm-hmm.
Reports, an independent investigation came out of reports of racial injustice amongst in the football program and at the university. So it doesn't shock me.
Yeah, it's
not a surprising matter. You know, when Hayden Fry was the coach there and then Frentz took over, you know, at the time, they came to Pontiac Central High. And I talked to him, you know, whatever. We sat down. He said he's not interested in no players from our school. What? Wasn't a shocker, though. You want to know why? Could give you a good reason.
Y'all was trash. No, I'm just playing.
I can give you a good reason.
Yeah.
I mean, we had eight cats off our 01 class that
That signed, went D1?
That went D1 and signed scholarships.
Yeah, one of them was my cousin, Torrey Price.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all signed Division I scholarships. It's just, you know, I don't know what they did over there on the north side, but, you know, we did our thing. It's just,
listen at you.
It is what it is.
You know who we did on it. So all of those top 10 players, thumbs up. Lamar Jackson, man, this kid, he impresses me every time. He was so humble about it, man, when he got the trophy.
Yeah.
He was like, I thought I was maybe 3 or 5 player, but I didn't think I was going to be number one.
He knew it. He was the MVP.
Bro, he had an amazing season.
He was the MVP.
You know, McCaffrey, 1,000 yards receiving, 1,000 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm.
Who does that at his size? I'm just going to be honest with you. I do not remember a white running back ever in the NFL that was able to do what he's doing. And I'm just being honest. I mean, come on. Riggins, what was Merrill Hodge? Like, come on. This guy is amazing, bro.
Yeah.
He's the best running back in the NFL.
Whoa.
I mean, it says it on here. It says it on the list. His peers said that.
Whoa.
His peers said he's the best running back. Him and Derrick Henry. His peers
But Derrick Henry has a rushing title that says different.
Okay. But look at all the things he's able to do. He be burning cats.
I get that. It's great.
He be giving them hezzies.
Wait. What was that move? Give it to me. Hey. Give it to me.
Hey, the boy be getting it, bro. He be jumping over cats. He be diving over the end zone. He's a monster, bro.
I give it to you. He's a great receiver out of the backfield. But yeah. Best back in the league.
Who the best back? Zeke still? You think Zeke?
I say Henry and Zeke.
Okay.
As far as workhorse backs.
Yeah.
Now, as far as.
He do it all.
Now, as far as utility back, like a Marshall Faulk type.
Okay.
Then, of course.
Okay.
Christian McCaffrey, hands down.
Okay.
He's more of the Marshall Faulk role type.
Okay.
And that's a hell of a.
Right.
Don't get me wrong.
Roger Craig type.
No. Marshall Faulk. Marshall Faulk. Again, Marshall Faulk, Matt Forte type. Mm-hmm. That's just. Man, it's like a Ginsu knife. You can use them, you know what I'm saying, at all parts of the game, every facet.
I got you.
But far as just line it up, pound it, run it down your damn throat.
Yeah.
Zeke and King Henry, man.
Okay.
You know, those are my two. But overall, he's a top three back in the NFL, top two.
Okay.
None of them I would initially say, either whether it be Henry, whether it be Zeke, whether it be McCaffrey. I would never say either one of those three are the best out of them all.
Okay.
Because they all bring something different to the table that the others can't do.
Speaking of Henry, we got, I think his Tennessee Titans are a Super Bowl contender. I need some Super Bowl contenders from you. Give me four Super Bowl contenders from each conference.
Here we go.
Let's hear it, Bright.
All right, so we're gonna go. If there's four from each conference, we're gonna go from the north. We're gonna
so it'll
go
be like
the
NFC
east,
south,
or, south, mm-hmm. and west, right?
Or you don't really have to do it like that. Let's just put it like this:
four top teams,
right? Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Four top teams out of the NFC that are true contenders for this season.
Because you probably got two in the West, in NFC West. You don't think so?
Uh-uh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. You said you didn't believe in the Niners.
I don't believe in the Niners this season. I think there's going to be a drastic fall off.
Okay.
I say the Seattle Seahawks, true contenders out of the West.
Okay.
Out of the East.
Even with that struggling D-line?
Again, they get it done.
They make it work.
They get it done.
They definitely make it work.
They get it done. So, out of the East.
Don't play
it's the boys, man.
It's the boys.
It's the boys. You know what I'm saying? They are true contenders out of the NFC East.
Yeah.
NFC South.
Yeah.
Man. Tampa Bay.
Tampa?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tampa Bay. I don't see the Saints doing anything. I see them, you know, being the Saints, being, you know, 12-4, mm-hmm. you know, 11-5.
First round exit.
And then the first round exit. I see that happening.
So you got the boys, you got the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm. The boys, Seahawks, the Bucks.
The Bucks.
And the Bears.
Ooh.
And the Bears. This is why the reason why and
so
before
you really
everybody
believe in Nicky Nine, huh?
Yes. And the reason why I say this is because this offense that they're running in Chicago is the exact same replica offense that they ran in Philly. Okay? And the one who knows that offense inside and out is Nicky Nines. When Nicky Nines ran it, he won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The only big difference is this Nicky Nines now have something that he didn't have in Philly. He has a legit top five defense. to back him up. You see what I'm saying?
I hear you.
And then the fact that you add in the additions like a Tayshaun Gibson, mm-hmm. like a Robert Quinn, mm-hmm. opposite. Can you imagine? Listen, man. Robert Quinn put up big numbers at outside linebacker rush in with the Dallas Cowboys.
Now that's you a good pickup
him,
for y'all.
Now you pairing him with Khalil Mack on the opposite side.
That's a good pickup for y'all. Wait, y'all lost Leonard Floyd, though.
Who the hell is Leonard Floyd? You see what I'm saying? He's a, yeah. You could push a damn plan out there in Leonard Floyd's place.
Man, we'll take a Chicago.
But this is what I'm saying. Yeah. The fact that you pair a top elite level defense
mm-hmm.
with – what they can possibly do on that offense. They are true contender. They are the best contender out of the North, in my opinion, due to the fact Minnesota is not. Minnesota is going to be battling.
Minnesota's the best in that division.
But the reason why I say Minnesota won't be there is because Chicago, they haven't beaten Chicago in 2 years.
But I'll be honest with you. If you want to ask me my four contenders or no?
I'm listening.
Okay. I'm going to say Saints. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say two in the West. You got the Niners and the Seattle Seahawks.
How's that Super Bowl hangover?
And you got Dallas.
How's that Super Bowl hangover?
Hey, that's what I'm rocking with.
No team has ever made it back after losing the Super Bowl the following year.
Have made it back to the Super Bowl? Or
have made it back to the playoffs.
The playoffs. A couple, but yeah.
No.
That's the exception, not the rule. Let's jump over to the AFC.
AFC.
Give me four AFC teams.
Well, we know it's going to be the Chiefs out there in the West.
Definitely.
Okay, and the
Chiefs and Ravens are locks.
Yeah. Chiefs and Ravens out of the North. Then you got the AFC East is Patriots, man, until you prove me otherwise. You know, it's going to be the Patriots until you prove me otherwise.
Even Autumn players opting out.
Don't give a damn. Bill Belichick will plug and play, man.
You admitting his genius without saying
it. No, what I'm saying is he will plug and play, and then the fact they have great coaching over there.
They do.
It's not just Bill Belichick, but they have great coaching over there. And then the fact that you add in a pissed off Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good recipe.
Cam said he's coming for next this year.
That's going to be a good recipe. So, yep. The AFC South, the Tennessee Titans.
That's a nice little list you got there.
So,
I'm going to go with Chiefs, Ravens, already locks. I'm going to surprise you with this one. I'm going to go Buffalo.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go Oakland.
I see Buffalo being a wild card in the AFC.
Okay.
Oakland. Who the hell is Oakland? Oakland don't exist no
Vegas.
More.
Vegas. Vegas Raiders. They coming.
I
did say Oakland, didn't I?
How they're going to be? I mean, in order to be serious contenders, you got to get past the Chiefs out there in the West. How's that going to happen?
Hey.
Eesh, you missing.
Yeah, man. You know what? Titans. I'm going to go Titans. I'm going to take Raiders off.
You missing
right.
The AFC South team.
You're right. Yeah. I'll go.
When it's all said
watch
done.
Out for the Colts, too, though.
Stop.
I think the Colts
stop.
with number 53. What's 53 name? Give me his name.
I know who you're talking about, but
he
I don't
a beast.
Know
he was on the top
about.
100, and then DeForest Buckner. Yes. That defense is going to be solid.
Stop. Not with Phillip Rivers.
You win in the trenches.
Picks.
Yeah.
Not with Phillip Rivers winging picks.
I hear you. All right. What do you think about the NBA bubble so far? What do you think about the kneeling? The first weekend of everything.
Okay.
How you feel?
First weekend. Exciting play.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong. It was captivating for all of the first 15 minutes.
I got you.
After that, it got dead. It got stale. You had a great game going with Boston and Milwaukee. However,
what about Lakers and Clippers?
Wait. I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
But Boston and Milwaukee, you had a good thing going.
Okay.
And then the refs totally blew it when they gave Giannis like 20 fouls.
You didn't tell me he got like 8 fouls
damn,
in the game.
Damn. I mean, dude, you were supposed to foul out at like the 4-minute mark of the game. With like 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And then back-to-back-to-back plays, you punched somebody in the nuts.
These nuts.
They didn't call it. You got an offensive. You had an offensive charge. They didn't call. They changed it into a block.
Okay.
And then after that, you slapped the hell out somebody in the face going up for a layup, and they turned a blind eye. What the hell is going on, NBA? So I mean, my thing is like, okay, you're treating it like a real game,
mm-hmm.
but these damn refs is calling it like it's open gym.
Yeah, exactly.
What the hell is going on, man?
Yeah,
you gonna call it? Call it.
It is a lot more lenient, it seems. It's like it's almost like an AAU kind of tournament kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know,
it's fun though, man. I like the virtual fans and stuff.
It's kind of cheesy after a while.
It's kind of cheesy, but it's dope because it's like, who expected this? It's still hype. The music is going. They got the DJs in there. The games are intense. I mean, did you see the Rockets Dallas game?
Yeah, I saw that. Look.
Oh, and TJ Warren went off yesterday for Indiana.
Listen,
he had 54 points.
Listen. You say the Rockets, Mavericks, right?
Mm-hmm.
ask me where the hell was any defense in that game.
Oh, yeah, it was like 153.
They scored 300 points.
Yeah, they scored 300
300 points.
They did. But, but that's the NBA today. Mm. That's what these young kids like. They like all that.
Also, the young man who chose not to kneel for
Jonathan Isaacs. I was going to ask you about
Jonathan Isaacs. It's going to be
towards ACL,
off the same jump hop that Derrick Rose did.
Really?
Yeah, the same.
Because I didn't see the
exact
play.
Move.
What I did see is I went to his Instagram and it's sickening. And you fans are gonna get a box of bootios today. It's sickening, bro. How many people were like, "Oh, where's your white Jesus now?" And it, I mean, bro, they was just going in.
Well, you know how people
they was like, "You didn't want to take a knee, now you got to take a knee." It was like the trolls came out, bro. They was going in on Cat, and it's like he has a right to kneel or not,
right?
Wear the shirt or not. Why do we keep on putting and forcing our beliefs on everybody?
Because he's black.
Believe what you want to believe.
Because he's black. That's why.
It was sad, bro. I was really disgusted. I was really disgusted.
Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Everybody's entitled to what they want to do, whatever, whatnot.
For those of you who don't know, Jonathan Isaac plays for the Magic. He decided not to take a knee, not to wear a Black Lives Matter shirt. He believes in Jesus Christ, and he feels that he's always, as he says, he's always lived his life through Jesus Christ. And that was a decision he just decided. He said he wasn't against Black Lives Matter. He just didn't want to go that route.
He believes in who?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
We love you, Jesus.
We love you, God.
Shield. The helmet.
Bro, and that's
sword.
And like, that's cool. Like, he took a stand. Like, he doesn't believe in everything that Black Lives Matter stands for.
I wish more Christians took, you know, radical Christians.
Yeah.
I wish they took that approach.
Yeah.
The Trump supporter Christians and the race baiting Christians.
It's a lot of racist Christians.
I wish you would take the approach that the young man Isaacs took, where I believe in God, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And whatever you believe is, you know, hold true unto.
Yeah, you got to stand with it.
But, you know, for them, but they'll say, "Oh, I'm a devoted Christian, but these black people, they not like." What?
Yeah, you just when you say "but," you just cancel.
It's like,
out.
Come on, man! Yeah. But you're supposed to be a lover of all people.
That's right.
So I wish more of them took that approach. It's just unfortunate for the young man. Pray for a speedy recovery. You know, and hopefully, man, he can get his career back on
track.
It's
sad because if I'm not mistaken, didn't he already suffer that injury before?
Mm-hmm. Don't know. Never heard of him until yesterday.
Oh, you didn't know about Jonathan Isaacs?
Nah, I don't watch the Magic.
Yeah. Hey, they're actually pretty straight.
Yeah.
You know, they're like around 500
or
whatever.
So from what I've heard, you know, they're 8th seed.
Aaron Gordon went crazy.
They're 8th seed in the East, but, you know, I don't pay attention to the Magic.
Yeah, they're straight. MLB off to a shaky start, man. What are your thoughts?
Wait.
Yeah.
The Lakers and Clippers game.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to.
Right. But the Lakers and Clipper game. What, you know, what did you draw from that? Anthony Davis went nuts.
As usual. LeBron struggled, but LeBron, see, this is one thing about LeBron. LeBron is so good and so crafty and so shifty. He doesn't have to have the greatest shooting performance to get everybody involved and to have a good game. He ended up having a good game. I think he ended up with like 16 points, like 11 rebounds, 7 assists or something like that, or, you know, somewhere in the ballpark.
You want my take on it?
Yeah, I want your take.
The Lakers are in trouble.
They struggled against a Clipper team without Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams.
They're in trouble.
Yeah.
And, you know, you went through all of that. And you went through all of that with a shorthanded Clipper team, and you only won by 2 points. What a last-second shot by Paul George.
Well, they're shorthanded themselves, though.
Again.
They're shorthanded themselves.
Rondo
and Avery Bradley are big pieces.
Yeah, defensive pieces. But were they really going to make a difference on the offensive end? No. They're not winning.
We'll never know.
They're not winning. I can't wait to see.
I still think Houston, if Houston hits the right stride, I know they're outmatched as far as the size.
You know the game slows down in the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Harden won't be able to jump kick people. You know, be jump kicking people in the nutsack from 3-point range. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
They're going to start calling that as an offensive foul. So,
yeah,
with that being said, you know, I mean, you can sit back and hope for Westbrook to drop 30 a night, but he's too erratic. That's not going to happen every night.
I feel you.
All you got is Westbrook. All you got is Westbrook and Harden. That's it.
No, they two got smalls. They got Covington. They got Covington. Really? Covington is he's a really good utility player. Every championship team has a player like Covington. I'm not saying they're going to win it all, but they got some pieces. They got some pieces.
They can't beat the top four teams in the West.
Hey. Any given night, baby.
And this ain't the NCAA playoffs. That's
but it's
what I'm
different, though. This ain't the real season. This ain't the regular season.
It's still
season.
A seven-game – it's still the best of seven series, okay? It's not a tournament style.
Just saying, watch off of Houston. I said
– You got to win four times.
Yeah.
They're not
beating Toronto
nobody.
Didn't have a chance last year.
Bro, listen to what I'm telling you, okay?
Let somebody from one of the teams you think going to win it get the COVID or something. Injury.
Right.
Things happen.
Okay, I get that. But, again – the stars aligned for Toronto against Golden State. All right. You had Klay Thompson go down. Not only did you have Klay Thompson go down, you had Kevin Durant go down.
Mm-hmm.
If both of them play, that series is over in six tops.
I hear you.
We know it with ease.
It was over in six, too.
It was over in six.
And the six took the six.
And then the crazy thing about it is Klay Thompson was going nuts. Klay Thompson was going. They had no answer for that. They had no answer for Steph Curry. They had no answer for KD when KD was out there.
No doubt.
It's just it is what it is. I mean, the sun shines on a dog's ass every now and then. A broken clock is right twice a day.
You got it.
So it was just so happened that broke clock fell on them and it worked out for them. But they won't get it again this year.
Hell no. You got it.
MLB, and Kawhi was there. So
yeah, MLB off to a shaky start, man. What do you think? What are your thoughts about the? The first 10
and foremost,
games or
my
so.
Cubs are 7-2.
The Cubs are looking really good.
My
they
Cubs
are
7-2.
They are looking good.
You know, we have Kyle Hendricks pitching his ass off.
The Yankees are 7-1.
The Yankees are 7-1, and yep, Aaron Judge leadoff homer in order to get past the Boston Red Sox.
He's
the
going
other
crazy.
Day. He's going nuts and bonkers.
Five straight games with a home run. He got six to start the season.
Him and Juan Carlos Stanton, man, they really putting up. They doing it big out there.
Colin Moran is doing pretty good in Pittsburgh. He got five for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah, but they stink. They stink.
Yeah.
They stink. Okay. Yeah. You know who else is ass? Milwaukee. What is going on with them, man?
I don't know, but I know they maybe
Yurich.
Maybe that's Yurich. Why they maybe that's why they bench coach had a heart attack. He had a heart attack Saturday.
Damn. It got that bad?
Brewers bench coach Pat Murphy suffered a heart attack during a workout Saturday. He should be home this week, though. So prayers for him and his family.
He need to stay away.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, them coaches, man.
He need to stay away.
That's stress, bro. You remember them NFL Cubs, like three NFL coaches one year had heart attacks.
Strokes, yeah.
Yeah, yep, yeah, strokes and heart attacks. Yes. One of them was Kubiak when he was with the Texans. And it was a lineup.
I think he faked that one to get the hell out of there and go get him a Super Bowl ring in Denver. Because that's exactly what he did. That's exactly what he did. He faked that one.
You stupid.
And just went to Denver and got a ring.
Yeah, he did retire. He was like,
he retired for a year.
Step away from the game.
And then went and magically got the offense coordinator position in
Denver.
Well,
you know he had ties with Denver.
Of course. He used to be John Elway's backup.
Yep, and he was an assistant there before, too.
So, you know, he faked that one. Like, oh, I got to get out of here. I got to step down.
Yeah,
ain't
so
nobody.
You know, thoughts are with Pat Murphy, the bench coach for the Brewers. But yeah, they do suck.
Major League Baseball is off to a good start. Yeah. However, you know, with those Miami Marlins players, those Philadelphia Philly players,
and Cardinals,
now the Cardinals.
The Cardinals are are putting the Tigers game in a bag, four-game series, because they got 13 players.
Tigers have discovered themselves a hell of a pitcher in these first 10 games.
Which one?
The young boy. I think
not
he's
boy, because boy no, trash.
No. It's a young kid. I can't think of his name right
is
now.
Is he a starter or a reliever?
No, he's a reliever.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, he's
I know exactly what you're talking about. I can't think of his
he's
name.
He's been doing his thing. You know what I'm saying? Young kid. So we'll see. But, you know.
Your Tigers off to a 5-5 start.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Remember you know? Joel Zumaya?
Yeah.
The Z.
I remember all them guys,
to
man.
Throw his damn arm out of socket.
Jose Lima.
Like, how are you doing? How are you throwing your arm out of socket? Like. You remember that? He used to pitch. He used to throw like 106-mile-an-hour balls or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you never heard of him again. You know what I'm saying? It was that one, that
Joel
magical
Zumaya, yeah.
That magical 2010 season.
Yeah, man.
And then you never heard of him again. Like, damn, what happened to Zumaya? Oh, he's rehabbing. He'll be back. You never seen him again. It was over.
Mm.
It was over. I mean, Tigers have ran through so many good pitchers.
Man, you Papa know? Grande.
Yeah, you had
Fernando Rodney.
Yeah, Rodney was a piece of excrement at a point in time. Man, come out there with them nappy ass braids. Look like dog. Get your braids refreshed. You a pro? He look like he fresh under somebody lint blanket. Head looking like a big old, just like a head, just fuzzy, man. He out there pitching. I'm like, bro. And then he would come in and just like damn near lose a game. Like they had like a 7-run advantage, and he'd come in and before you know it, he'd luckily close it out. He'd get the pump in his fist and turning his hat to the side, and damn, Tigers done won 7-6. When he came in, it was up 7-1. Like, damn, bro, you damn near blew it. He was hot garbage, man. I could believe that. I was like, dude, it's sorry. Yeah,
Tigers have had some good pitchers over the years, man. And
Phil
I'm
Koch.
Who was the closer bastard we had forever?
Phil Koch.
Who? Cokehead?
It was Koch. It was Fernando Rodney.
We had a closer that just could not close games.
Oh my god.
In that time.
It was the Latin guy. I know exactly who you're talking about, but I can't. Well, yeah. It was awful. He was awful. He used to get out there and just totally blow it, man. So you know, they was balling though. You know, they was balling during that time in 2010. You know, you have Verlander, you had Scherzer. You had quite a few cats, man, you know, but
David Price for a year or so.
For whatever reason, that pitching would never come in handy come playoff time. They would be getting
it. Always the relievers. It wasn't the starters.
Man, yeah, it was. Verlander, I remember seeing Verlander getting playoff rocked game in the World Series like four straight times against the Giants.
Yeah, to this day, I don't think he's won a postseason game yet.
That is straight up booty.
Let's jump into what do you think about the Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. upcoming bout?
Man, I don't give a look.
I knew you wouldn't.
Listen.
I just had to throw it out there.
I'm going
to
watch it. Yeah. They're fighting with
headgear. Would you pay for it, or are you going to go somewhere where they already paid for
it?
Man,
I got ILML.tv.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's free.
Yeah, sweet.
I ain't paying for that mess. But they're going to be fighting with headgear on, whatever, whatnot. I want to see what the undercards are like. They're going to get out there, you know what I'm saying, hug each other for five rounds, man, and have a good go at it. They ain't going out there to try to kill no damn body.
I hear you. But Tyson still got it at 58. That's my guy.
Yeah, he still got it. Yeah, 58? Damn, I don't think Tyson that old. 54. Roy's 51.
Oh, my God. Oh, my bad.
Damn, 58?
Like, yeah, I did kind of up his years.
Jesus.
I did kind of go up
his years. But, you know, they're going to be fighting with headgear on, man. So, you know, we'll see, whatnot. I mean, you can't really do too much damage. People talking about, I wanted to see.
Mikey is 54.
They talking about, I want to see them in their prime. If they would have got together in their prime,
Mike would have knocked that young
man. He'd have punched a hole through Roy, man. Is you serious?
He'd have knocked his head 15 rows back.
Roy Jones really had, look, okay. They talk about how Tyson hasn't been in the ring in so long, right?
Mm-hmm.
Roy Jones' last fight was like 2-3 years ago when he got knocked out. Roy damn near has rigor mortis in that ring, man. He's like stiff as hell, bro, moving around. So, you know, if Tyson, hey, it's in all honesty, they still can get knocked out with headgear on, but
yeah,
I highly doubt it, but whatever.
All right, man, jumping into the crazy stat of the day, the big and bright crazy stat of the day. Listen, man, crazy but true. In week 15, 2010, the FedEx Air and Ground Players of the Week were Michael Vick, Ray Rice, and the Rookie of the Week was Aaron Hernandez. Isn't that crazy?
No.
That
it's not crazy. They were all at the peak of their time. It was the top players of that time.
Yeah, but the crazy part about it is they all were exited from the NFL due to legal issues. I mean, obviously,
Mike Vick came back though.
Right. Obviously, Vick with the dogs. Ray Rice punching his girlfriend on the elevator. And Aaron Hernandez killing multiple people. I mean,
look,
it's just crazy that that's like the all jail team right there, the all prison team.
Ray Rice didn't go to prison.
Oh, well.
I mean, dang.
You could have went. We could have rocked with it though.
Nah, I can't rock with that.
That's sad though, man, because those guys. Their careers, I think Ray Rice was on his way to the Hall of Fame, possibly.
Yeah, he was on his way out of the league at that time when he knocked his girl out.
Aaron Hernandez was definitely on his way to the Hall of
absolutely,
Fame.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And Mike Vick, we'll never know.
Yes, we do know.
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm just saying.
Lamar Jackson is Mike Vick.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? We don't know. Yeah, we knew.
No, I know we knew, but
we knew.
We know now he, like, now it won't happen.
Well, it's unfortunately. Okay. It's okay. You know, he can mentor these young boys that's doing their thing. So, yeah,
no doubt, no doubt.
Thing is, though, is just dealing with Vic and dealing with Vic and the whole situation with that is just, man, it's crazy. These people still hate him to this day.
I know, man.
But then we'll go out and shoot the hell out of a deer.
Yeah.
What?
You're right.
What?
You're right.
Huh? You know, we'll go out and shoot the hell out of it. It's just what they hold valuable to them.
Right. And you it's not even like they're shooting dogs. They were fighting dogs. All the dogs didn't die. You know?
True, but they were torturing. I'm not going to try to they was torturing.
Yeah,
dogs,
I'm not going to try to justify what he did, but I'm just saying, like I'm just agreeing with your point.
Yeah, you know.
You go shoot a deer and blow his head off.
Yeah, you know. So then string him up on the basketball rim, you and little Johnny and little Timothy. You string him up on the basketball rim and let him bleed out in front of everybody.
Right.
After you done cleaned him out. So, yeah, that's real justifiable.
Let's get into our big and bright top 10 today, man.
Top 10, baby.
You want to start it off or you want me to?
Top 10 receivers of today.
Of today.
In today's era.
Yep.
So, with all of that, I'm going to start off with my top 10. Starting out at number 10, I'm going Odell Beckham Jr.
Okay.
From the Cleveland Browns. Again, we've never seen anything like him before. Mm-hmm. Moving on down to number 9, we're going to go with Chris Godwin.
Wow.
Chris Godwin of the Buccaneers. I mean, look, his stat line, 86 for 13, 33, and 9 touchdowns.
Ooh.
That boy put up some numbers.
Yeah.
And this is with Crab Legs throwing him the ball and Mike Evans on the other side. These are number one receiver stats for number 2.
Yeah, that's true.
So Chris Godwin is number 9. Number 8, Keenan Allen. Mr. Uncoverable himself.
Yep.
That boy runs so much. His routes be so crisp.
They do.
So detailed.
And for him to be so tall.
Ask your boy Darius Slay how hard of a cover that was as he had him holding his jock strap.
Bro, Darius Slay was on like three. We're talking about three different players because he just getting killed last year.
Number 7, we're going to go with Mike Evans. Mike Evans, number 7.
Okay.
At the wide receiver spot. Just because of the fact of the matter that Mike Evans, again, like I said, he was a number 1. But he still had, I mean, Mike Evans still had, you know, if I'm not mistaken, he had 1,200 some odd plus yards and still had a double digit of receiving touchdowns.
He didn't have double digit touchdowns.
Almost.
Yeah.
Close to it. He had 1,291 and 82 catches. And this is the crazy thing about it, though, right?
How many touchdowns he had? Like 7?
He had 9.
9?
Yep.
Okay.
And he only played 12 games.
Oh, wow.
Only played 12 games.
All right.
So, that's a crazy stat line. Number 6, Amari Cooper.
Okay.
We know what Coop brings to the table. He had 84 for 12, 25, 9 touchdowns.
Nice.
In 16 games.
Yeah.
Number 5, we're going to go with Davante Adams of the Green Bay Packers.
Nice, nice.
I hate Green Bay, but it is what it is.
Yeah,
you know what
cold.
I'm saying? The young man had 96 catches for 1,197 and 11 touchdowns on a per 16 game basis since 2016.
Wow.
So he put up crazy numbers.
No doubt.
Number 4, D-Hop, DeAndre Hopkins.
4?
Clear cut, number 1 wide receiver. Since his arrival in the NFL, he's averaged 88 catches.
4.
88 catches, 12, 28, 7 touchdowns per 16 games.
Okay.
Number 3, we're going to go with Tyreek Hill.
Speedster. Over Hop?
Speedster. 3 years as three years as a full-time wideout.
Okay.
He's averaged 82 catches for 13 and 11 yards and 10 touchdowns.
Okay.
Since becoming a full-time receiver.
Okay.
His numbers are better than D-Hobbs.
I got you.
Number 2, we're going Julio Jones.
Yes. And you didn't – I was trying to show love to my guy Julio. You was like, he's not worth it. You call him Predator. You was just like – and you got him number 2. That's all I need.
Even during his 3 seasons, even though it's been 3 seasons since his first team All-Pro appearance, he went 2017 through 2019. He leads the NFL in yards per route run with a 2.0 average, and also his 16 game per average is 102 for 15, 37 with 6 touchdowns.
Jesus, 15.
The yards is there.
This
is what I'm telling you about Julio Jones. His yards are going to be there because 9 times out of 10 they're getting their ass whooped anyway. So they throwing the ball. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Those touchdowns are damning.
Yeah.
Because y'all ain't producing no wins. So you can get yards all day. Is it turning into points? No, it's not. So, I mean, but if you're going off pure production, Julio is number 2 in production. And number 1, Michael Thomas.
My favorite. Yes, sir.
92 for 1137 and 9 touchdowns. That was in 16. Mm-hmm. 104 for 1245 and 5 touchdowns. That was in 17. 125 mm-hmm. for 1,405 yards and 9 touchdowns in 18.
Tell us what he did
and
in 19.
149
catches.
For 1,725 yards and 9 touchdowns.
That's my dog.
And he just set a record for receptions in a season, leading the league for the second consecutive year in catches.
Yes, sir. Beautiful list, man. Beautiful list.
So that's my top 10.
All right.
Wide receivers of today.
You were the stat guy today. Last week, I was the stat guy. I ain't saying no stats. Y'all know what it is. I'm just going to count them down. Number 10, the boy Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
You know what he's doing. He's the new human joystick. Number 9, I had to go Juju, man.
Okay.
Juju's in my top 10. Number 8, OBJ.
Okay.
He definitely still doing his thing. Number 7, Amari Cooper. Had a killer season with the Cowboys, and they just added your boy
CD
Lamb.
Yeah, they just added CD.
So it's going to open up.
CD's nuts.
Davante Adams, I got number 6. Mike Evans, number 5. Number 4, Keenan Allen. Like you said, Mr. Unstoppable himself.
Okay.
Number 3, I went Julio. I went Julio for 3 because he's a little older. D-Hop is my number 2.
Okay.
And, of course, the boy Mike Thomas, number 1.
All right.
I did have to throw an honorable mention in there. I know you didn't want to hear it, but it's so many good receivers, and every team starts 3 receivers now. Mm-hmm. So this is my honorable mention. Cooper Kupp, Stephon Diggs, Robert Woods, Allen Robinson, Kenny Galladay, Julian Edelman, Chris Godwin, Adam Thielen, and Tyler Lockett.
Damn, that was an additional 10 that you threw in there.
Yeah, that's more than I thought. I told you on the phone it was like 4, but wow. That's like 8-9 guys.
Okay.
Yeah, man. Every team got 2 starting receivers. I didn't even put Marvin Jones. Well, Marvin Jones shouldn't go in there. But
who?
No, we ain't going to do that.
Who?
We ain't going to do that.
Who?
I said I didn't put him in there, so you don't have to worry about it. It's as if I didn't say it. You got me?
He shouldn't even been brought up. Who?
It's as if I didn't say it. Don't worry about it.
Man, you tripping.
All right, man, let's get to the booty holes. Before we get out of here.
Before we do that, this day in sports history, Jesse Owens stepped on the track and field in Berlin with Adolf Hitler there and blew him away.
Wow.
This day in sports history.
That's what's up, man.
Not literally, but yeah.
Okay.
This day in sports history. So.
Wow.
The booty-os. Queuing it up for those who
are. The booty.
Absolutely booty. So, Big, who you got receiving a batch?
Man, my first booty-os is going to the lovely commissioner of the MLB, Rob Manfred. This guy has continued to be a butt, really. I mean, let's just be honest. He did nothing about the whole allegations and the whole situation with the Houston Astros. He did nothing about it whatsoever. He just let those guys go scot-free. He called the MLB championship trophy a hunk of metal, and his handling of this whole pandemic situation and even the way the season has gone with the 60 games, it's just been atrocious. He's the worst commissioner I've ever seen. Katie, give him a box.
The booty.
Damn. All right. Me.
Yeah. Who are you giving a box to?
Man, you know what? I'm going to give a box, a strong, heaping, stank-ass box. Y'all may not know this person, but he has been a thorn in my ass for the last years, because he thinks his sports regimen and his sports acumen is like the be-all, end-all, holy grail. Quentin Barrett. Cue it, Katie.
The booty! Oh!
QB. Me and QB had, and Big has had his run-in with QB
Man,
as well.
Don't even start, bro.
But this is the thing, right? I posted something on Twitter stating that I don't see what all the love and affection for Bo Jackson is, because in all retrospect, given his numbers, and he only played 4 years in the
NFL.
He's
a bust.
He was a bust.
Period.
He was a bust. And everyone wants to see Bo Jackson as anything other than that, and it's all folklore from college hysteria
mm-hmm.
and Bo Jackson's Nike campaign.
Mm-hmm.
But you call Reggie Bush a bust. Reggie Bush had a better college career and a better NFL career than Bo Jackson. So what measure are we holding Bo Jackson to? Because any in anywhere. Mm-hmm. If you take off the name Bo Jackson and said this was Johnny Chocoho from Stand Back, Michigan.
Johnny Chocoho.
With these numbers from Stand Back, Michigan.
Wow.
And had the same numbers that Bo Jackson had, you would consider him a bust. So, QB, you definitely get a box.
My last box is going to go to the fans, man. Those awful, ignorant, evil trolls, man, that got on Jonathan Isaacs like that, man. I mean, when you tear an ACL, bro, that's a serious injury. It's already like he already had a tough decision to make by standing, you know, and just everything that comes with that. He had to make his decision. And now the fans gonna come after him like this. That's unnecessary. It's disrespectful. It's sad. Get a life. Hit him with a box, Katie.
The booty. Oh.
And for my last box of booty-os, I got two boxes to give out.
Two boxes.
Yeah, and it all contains. It all pertains in the major
family pack
league baseball.
Yeah.
Organization.
No doubt.
The Miami Marlins.
Yes.
Katie.
Yes.
The booty. Oh.
And the St. Louis Cardinals. Cue it, Katie.
The booty. Oh.
You two dumb sons of bitches running around here wanting to run to Magic City, wanting to run to everywhere else, yeah. Trying to do your thing, trying to get your rocks off, trying to deal with your little hookers and everything else at the expense of everyone else's health.
Exactly. You're costing your team and you're costing the teams that you're supposed to play.
And it could possibly be that you're going to get the league shut down.
And no, it could cost your family. Yeah.
So
it's selfish.
You two bastards are selfish as hell in what you're doing and how you're going about it. So
definitely, man.
You definitely receive a box.
Definitely. They get a double box.
With that said, ladies and gentlemen,
hopefully we made your day a little bit bigger
and a little bit brighter. Make sure to tune in to us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Make sure you give us a download wherever you get your podcast.
Yes.
Big and Bright is available.
Continue to tweet us, man. Let's get it.
And we'll continue to be interactive. With that said, ladies and gentlemen, go ahead and lead us out. Deuce.
Deuce.
Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next time.